その最初のポイントで面白かったのは1960年代の後半っていうのが、まあ、あのビートルズとかも、登場してきて、イギリスの音楽が、うん、その旧植民地を超えてこう世界に注目される状況ができて、アメリカの音楽産業がこうイギリスに参入してくる、でこれが正気だっていうことで、ピーターもあの大学の先生辞めて音楽にこうの音楽のマネジメントにこう入っていくっていう、そのあたりのこう背景も面白かったし、
うんうん、そうですね、あのそれでやっとあのブリティッシュバンドが、うん、っていうかイギリスのバンドが世界的にあのマーケットを得てとか、音楽マネージャーもなんていうか、うん、仕事として成り立つ、
うん、これで最初食ってこう養っていけるとかって言ってましたよね、
う
ん、
そうですね。
でハイドパークっていうのはロンドンにある大きな公園なんですが、そこでのコンサートとかっていうのもあの、奥さんと生まれた子供をこう散歩している時に、楽団、軍隊かポリスかその楽団が演奏しているのを見て、いやこれあの、まあ、アメリカ当時西海岸でそういうこうフリーコンサートとかしてた時代なので、そういうのを音楽雑誌とかから聞いて、おこれやれるんじゃない、イギリスで今の状況だったら世界にも注目されてるしっていうので、そこでなんというかこのコネクションはちょっと聞いてびっくりでしたよね。あの当時できたばかりの芸術賞、あの、
はい、
ミニショーをカルチャーって言ったけど実はアーツなん
です、アーツです、うん、みたいですね、
うん、なんていうの、芸術賞みたいなかな、うん、
そう、まあそうですね、文化芸術賞というか、うん、
文化芸術賞、そこの大臣の、ジェニー・リーに、手紙を書いたと、うん、若い人にのハイドパークの不良、あの不良じゃない無料コンサートがいいんじゃないですかって提案したら、2日数日後に、その関係者から電話がかかってきたと。そのなぜそういう大胆な行動ができたかというと、ご本人が説明されるところによると、亡くなられたおじいさんがその新しく大臣になったリーさんと深い関係に昔あって、それでおじいさんは亡くなってしまわれたけども、まあ、そういうことを匂わされたかどうかは別にして、その深い関係にあったおじいさんは、まあ、政治家で労働党関係だったんですが、でその手紙を書いたら、リーさんは直接返事は来なかったし、会ったことも声を聞いたこともないけれども、関係者の人が手紙をくれて、その後話がどんどん進んで、このハイドパークでのフリーコンサートが実現したというあの話なんですね。これちょっとあの普通の話なんですか、私さりげなく聞いてましたけど、なんかみたいな感じで、
あのそうですね、まあ、うん、あのおじいさんがは政治家で、その、うん、まあ、ジニー・リーっていう人は初代、もちろんその初代、うん、文化庁長官になる、あっていうか、大臣になる人ですけれども、うん、女性の
方で、そうそう、はい、女性の方で、
女性の元、うん、ハウス・オブ・コモンズの議員なんですが、
うんうん、という話で、ああそっかって、当たり前のことなんですが、こういう大きなライブをするときに、その発想はアンダーグラウンドだったりカウンターカルチャーだったかもしれないけど、
うん、
でも当然大きな公園使うから許可を得ないといけないし、安全面もあのしっかりしないといけないし、ということで、そのピーター・ジーナーのお家に伺って話を聞いた後に、いろんなピーター・ジーナーが当時のドキュメントをこうちゃんとあのアーカイブにしていて、それをコレクションを見せてもらったんですが、そうするともうたくさんの行政とのやり取り、こういったあの安全面をどうするかとか、あのそういったやり取りをしているんですね。その手紙もちゃんと残されていて、すごい大変だなと思うと同時に、さっき紹介した恐竜の名前のバンド何でしたっけ、
ティラノサウルスレックス、
はい、ティラノサウルスレックス、
はい、
あの例えばその手紙の中に、その向こうの行政 の, あのその公園関係の人とかこう 手紙をくれやり取りしてるんですが、こう話うまいこと言ってるんで、君が、あなたが、まあ、ブラックヒルという会社として引き受けてるんですが、あなたがいいと思うミュージシャンを紹介をアレンジメントしてくれたらいいよって、例えばティラノザウルスも OK ですよみたいなことが手紙に書いてあって、書いた人好きなんだなみたいな、その行政の大きな組織の人たちの中にもきっとこのライブをこう支援してくれる人たちもいて、それで話が進んだんだなっていうことがドキュメントの方からも見てて面白かったですね。うん、ということで、で後半のさらに後半の、これでは8分ぐらいですか、トークは、でもそれって60年代とか70年代初めのことだけど、70年代以降はどうなのって、音楽と、政治ってつながってるんですかって、そういう話をちょっと短く割と大きな話になってしまうんですがしています。でお届けする音楽は、これも大虫さんに選んでいただいて、エドガー どちらもピーターさんがあれ、マネージメントされてたことがあるんですが、エドガー・ブロエドガー・ブロートンバンド、うん、これは大虫さんの説明によると、こうパンクが広まる前のパンクみたいな曲で、うん、この2曲はさっきの2曲とは全然違う感じですから、ちょっと楽しんで聴いていただいてください。パンクが始まる前のパンク、ともう一つイアン・ドゥーリーっていう、このイアン・ドゥーリーとアンザ・ブラックヘッズ、ブロックヘッズか、このバンドはこう有名になったこともあるんですよね。で、それのこうヒットトミリズムスティックっていうこの曲、エドガー、ブロートンバンドはアパッチドロップアウト、なんですが、でこのイアン・デューリーさんも、ピーターさんがこう、マネジメントをされていたことがあります。このイアン・デューリーさんの調べてたら、なんか清志郎さんがイギリスでロンドンでなんか収録をとかするときに、この、ザ・ブロックヘッズにサポートしてもらったこともあって、でイアン・デューリーもこう、その少し、参加してたことがあると、こう清志郎さんのアルバム作りに、でその関係で日本に来られたことが、日本の、まあ、流れというか、来られたこともあるという話が書いてあったんですが、ウィキペディアかなんかに。でそう思って聞くと、なんかこう曲のイメージができてしまうんですが、この曲2曲を挟んで、それとピーターさんのお話の最後をお届けします。トムさん、ミュージック4 and R2 ミュージック5 please go。
How about after70s, you also keep your interest in politics?
Oh yes, I mean Billy Bragg. Billy Bragg's very political. Red Wedge.
For example, Roger Waters now, he tried to make a live concert in the border of Mexico.
Oh yeah,
you support?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, I think he would have got a lot of that sort of stuff from contact with me, in fact.
Oh really?
Back in the day, would have left. He was always, he and his wife, were very, his first wife, were very, they were political. But, I mean, he would have got a lot of that from the stuff that we did. And that sort of link between social action.
Yeah, but at the present time, as you said, there's 6 days more people could be positive, and the politics also people could think that we can change the world like that. But now...
Well, we had to rebuild the world. Because after the war... You know, during the war, just like in Japan, it was flattened. You know, it didn't really start cheering up until the 60s. Prosperity started coming back, and young people could get a job, and there's employment, and so they could buy things. And as it were, that the 60s was the beginning of the sort of youth empowerment.
Yeah.
That young people had enough money. There was enough money in society for young people to be able to take their money and do stuff with it. So they would start buying clothes and buying records and going to gigs. So it was really important. I think before then it was the war finished in 45, 46, mm-hmm. you see. So then the next 15 years were a real struggle because of the money that we'd had to pay. You know, America, we owed the Americans so much money, like mm-hmm. Japan. You know, we had to pay for all the, you know, all the stuff we'd done during the war.
But at the present time, you can say to the younger person, music and politics is to get together.
Yeah.
You know, but it's possible that the younger person is more depressed and they cannot imagine such kind.
Oh, I think they you know, I think there's a sort of, are you talking about now?
At now, present.
Yes. I mean, I think you can always imagine a better future. And you can always fight for a better future. And in a way, the worse it is, the more you want to fight for it being better. At the moment, a lot of that sort of activity, mental position is built around Brexit. You being here, Brexit is that sort of a crucial sort of conflict going on in Britain as to whether, you know, whether we are part of Europe or whether we're, you know, rule Britannia, you know, Britain rules the waves, you know, we are, you know, we're more important than you people over there. There's that sort of attitude. There's a you know, we won the war. It's a very important British thing, you know, that we kept the Germans out and we had to go and save them. There's all those sorts of things. We had an empire. You know, India used to be ours and Africa used to be ours and all that, you know, all around the world was Britain. Then, after the war, we helped rebuild Germany politically and with the trade unions and things like that. There's a lot of the northern Germany was influenced by the British occupation, and southern Germany was influenced by the American occupation. There was a bit of French in the middle, and as it were, that the French in the middle probably helped lead to the EU. And our involvement, a lot of English people involved in rebuilding Germany politically after the war, a lot of the industrial parts of Germany, you know, the Ruhr and Hamburg, the northern Germany, which was where the big industrial belt, there's a lot of influence came in from the UK trade union people and political people.
But if you look at the reality, indeed the UK already decided to move out of the EU.
I think it's very conflicted. A lot of people are very unhappy about moving out of Europe. And that's why it's such a problem. I think there's conflict as to whether we should leave Europe or stay in Europe within the European, but there's also a sort of confusion as to where we go from here. I mean, so in other words, wherever you stand, it's very unclear what the future has got to offer. You may well have a view that it should be in Europe, it should be out of Europe, but the reality that we all have is, what's it going to be? Mm-hmm. So there's an uncertainty, which, in a sense, the British rule always had a certain lot of certainties. We had the Queen, we had the Constitution, we had Parliament, we had the Empire. You know, we had the Navy, you know, there was a lot of things which made us very confident that we were, you know, we ran the world. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, somehow, you know, America wouldn't be there if it wasn't for us, you know. Australia wouldn't be there if it wasn't for us. Canada wouldn't, you know, there's that sort of perception amongst the British that they're far more important than the rest of the world thinks we are. The British have a very overinflated view of their importance. Maybe it's justified, maybe it isn't. But it's certainly very confused because our economic value is not as big as our social value. In other words, our effect on attitudes worldwide, perhaps, in lots of areas, you know, politically and socially, we have had a lot of influence since the war.
Yeah.
So in the last 50 years, you know, we've had a lot of influence. We joined the EU, which we didn't put together, and we were always, I think the Brits thought that they should always agree with us. There was a problem, we had a problem getting into Europe because de Gaulle didn't want the British in. The EU was originally a German-French deal, and that was the heart of it, and that was really, you know, the key. And then somehow Britain was, Spain and Italy were smaller and not as significant. Clearly France and Germany were the big boys, you know, and then Holland and Belgium were smaller boys, you know. So when we come in, then it gets more confusing because the British and the French and the German, and they all speak English. In terms of the EU, a lot of the discussions in the EU certainly used to be all in English. And then with the American influence as well, you know, so that there was an Anglophone influence in the EU, which I think the French and the German, well, the non-Anglophones sort of resented because the Americans weren't part of the EU and the UK were always a bit iffy about it. You know, it was a long period where they let us in, well, do we want to go in? And then there was, we were always bitching and moaning about the EU. So we weren't sort of wholehearted members of the club.
And even now you use the pound.
Yeah, that was a big thing, you know, that they wanted us to join the euro and we wouldn't join the euro.
Yeah.
You know, we won't have the European Court of Justice. We never really let the ECJ in.
Okay, then thank you very much. I recorded some parts of this recording. Can I use for the show?